Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we are so humbled by who you are. You are holy. You are holy forever. And we are just down here practicing for that day when we get to heaven and get to worship you forever. And so we lift your name here on earth as we can. And we just thank you for who you are and for all you've done for us. Be with us and open our hearts and open our minds as we go into hearing the preaching and teaching of your word. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen. If you appreciate the worship this morning, shout amen. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. And just want to, I guess y'all figured out this is pre-service announcements, right? Y'all know Carter McCullough, and he's one of our high school students and serves in our praise band, and I'm just so thankful for his willingness to keep serving here. And what you may not know is that Carter's school is taking several of them to Greece this summer. And he's going to go on the Paul missionary journey. I really want to go do that myself. And how many students are going?
12 right now.
And so what he's got to do between now and June the 21st is raise enough support for him to be able to go. And the cost is $4,800. Now you may say, wow, but that's not a bad price to fly to Greece and get back and stay in hotels, all that. But he's here this morning and he's not asking for a handout. He wants a hand up. And he's willing to come and work. If you need some things done around the house or you need something done at your place of employment or whatever, just call Carter. He'll come do it. And then you can put some money in his back pocket. And that'll help. But he's got a lot of work to do. He's got to try to raise $4,800 between now and June 21st. So I wanted you all to make that. I just want you to make you aware of what's going on in his life. And we need to support our young people in whatever we're doing. So, Carter, we love you. Just praying that God will supply all of your need,
yes,
according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Y'all give him a hand. Amen. All right. We're going to return this morning to our theme for the year, an open door in 24. Look at your neighbor and say, my, we've got an open door. And I believe the Lord's going to open up some doors of opportunities for us this year like never before. I believe he's going to give us an opportunity to do great and mighty things that we don't know anything about yet. And the doors that God opens for us in 24 are going to help us accomplish the mission of the church. And in so doing, we'll give him great glory, honor, and praise. By the way, you do know that Revelation 3 and verse 8 says that God opens doors no man can shut. And he shuts doors that no man can open. Y'all with me so far? And by the way, you learned a couple of weeks ago that God is the open door. Jesus said, I am the door. John 10 and verse 9. Y'all remember that sermon? I don't know. All right, let's all stand as we honor God's word here. Matthew 7, and we'll start there at verse 7. I want to talk to you this morning about an open door of invitation. An open door of invitation. If you're there, say amen, Matthew 7:7. One of these days, I'm just going to trick y'all, and I'm going to tell Ellen, don't put that stuff up there and see how fast y'all can find it. All right. Ask and it'll be given to you. Oh, come on, say amen.
Amen.
Seek and you will find.
Amen.
Knock and it'll be opened unto you.
Amen.
Now listen to this. For everyone, say everyone. Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Verse 9, or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Now there may be one or two fathers that might do that, but I don't hardly know anybody that would do that. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? And then Jesus said, if you then being evil, knowing how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And then you remember the golden rule for that we brought up? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Father, bless your word today. Get the preacher behind the cross. God, use your word to change our hearts and to make us more like Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Now, the passage that we're looking at this morning comes on the heels of the greatest sermon ever preached and preached by the greatest preacher that's ever walked on the planet. We're talking here, of course, about the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. And we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ who delivered this great sermon. And in this sermon, Jesus addressed the believers, his followers, and what they were called to do, how they were to live their lives. And he laid down some expectations for them. And there on the side of this mountain, Jesus is just letting them in on what he's expecting them to do, how they're to live their lives. How many of you know Jesus has some expectations for us? All right. So let me just kind of roll through some of these. In this great sermon, he lays out some expectations. Y'all, how many of y'all have ever studied or read or heard of the Beatitudes? Well, in the Beatitudes, Jesus lays out what he's expecting and looking for in his followers. He challenged us in the Sermon on the Mount to be salt and light. He challenged us to go the second mile in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5. There we go. There's one or two of you that's got it. Matthew 5, 41. And then he challenged us to love our enemies. Look at your neighbor and say, uh-oh. And we're to go about doing good works for his glory. And then he gave us instructions on how to pray, how to fast, how to give. Talked about what a biblical marriage looks like. And he warned us about a lot of different things in the Sermon on the Mount. Anger and hatred and murder. He warned us about adultery, making an oath, and talked about, here's a big one, and we don't talk about it a lot, but he warned us about worry and what worrying and anxiety, what all that stuff does to us. And then he also talked about, just before this passage, about what it means to judge someone with a critical, judgmental spirit. And by the way, I don't want to hear any of y'all ever say, we're not supposed to judge anybody. Yes, we are. The Bible says you can know a person by the fruit that they're bearing, good or bad. But we're not to look down our noses at people with this critical, fault-finding, judging attitude. That's what it means to judge somebody. Okay? That's another sermon for another time. But see, how many of y'all have ever heard somebody say, oh, we're not supposed to judge? That's wrong. In this passage of Scripture, you can read it. We are to judge others by the fruit that they're bearing. All right? Everybody with me so far? And so after Jesus covered all these expectations and laid out what it looks like to live for his glory and honor, I'm sure everybody's thinking, how in the world am I going to do all of that? Y'all do know the Christian life is not easy. Somebody who told you you would never have any more problems or everything was going to be just great and all touchy-feely and all that, they lied to you. Because you've upset the apple cart in hell when you come to Christ. You've made all of hell upset. And so we have to deal with things, but it's very interesting what Jesus does in our passage. He's well aware that we don't have the wisdom and the strength and the things that we need to live like the Sermon on the Mount talks about. And so what he does, rather than giving us a set of rules and regulations and listings on how to keep the commandments, here's what he does. He links our impotence. Is that a word that y'all understand? Y'all know what impotence is? Okay. He links our impotence with God's omnipotence. I thought some Baptist in here might get that today. He links our impotence with God's omnipotence. I know y'all just heard it, but I've been chewing on that all week. So I'm going to unload my gun. Is that all right? Now, so let's take a look this morning quickly with what, and really what he's talking about here in verses 7 through 11 is the key to the Christian life. It is the key to the Christian life. I don't know how we miss it, but we do. And so he opens up this great door of invitation. And what does it have to do with? Prayer. Isn't it amazing how often we roll into this? You think God's got a message for us? You think he's trying to tell us something? Yeah. And so let's look at this. First of all, this invitation that Jesus has given to every single one of us and all of his followers there on the mountain that day has to do with an invitation being extended to folks. Look again. He says, ask, seek, and knock. The King of the universe, now get this, watch this, is inviting his followers to pray. I go to a prayer meeting over at the Hilldale family, over at the Hilldale main campus in the Deaf Center where the Deaf ministry takes place. And Dwight Dixon leads that. It's the first and third Mondays of the of the month. If you'd like to, they've been praying for 12 years for the spiritual transformation of Clarksville. And Dwight Dixon, every single time we meet, quotes Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. How many of y'all need something? Three of you, five of you, six, eight, seven, okay. We can come boldly with confidence, stirred deep down in our spirit, that we can come into the very presence of Almighty God, the God who created the universe. We can come into his presence and ask, seek, and knock. That is a tremendous invitation. I don't know what kind of invitations you all have received in the past, but I remember when Brother Roger, I should say Roger Freeman, some of y'all don't know who he is, but he's the former late and great pastor of First Baptist. He's not dead. He's just not the pastor there anymore. But he got an invitation from the White House to come and pray over the Christmas tree. Y'all remember that? What an invitation. And then he was honored and floored and just, he called me and told me about it. And, that's what preachers do. We call on one another and tell us, what's going on and stuff. And I said, well, Brother Roger, is there any strings attached to this? And he said, well, they kind of poured water on my fire. I've got to write out my prayer and send it into them before I can actually go pray. I said, so they want to know what you're going to say. He said, yeah. I said, well, whatever you do, pray in Jesus' name. And he did. And because, hey, if you call on a Baptist pastor to pray, they ought to expect you to pray in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so he went, and I got to thinking about that invitation. But y'all, every one of us sitting in here have a greater, much greater invitation than that. We've been invited by the King of Kings to come into his presence 24/7 to ask, seek, and knock. And let me just say it like this. The tense of the verbs here, I know this doesn't mean squat, but the tense of the verbs here means to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And so, and the scripture says in I believe it's 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we're to pray without. Yeah, we're to pray all the time. We're to receive this invitation and come for prayer. I just want to ask you a real personal question. How much time do you spend praying? Don't answer out loud. How much time do you spend praying? How much time do you say yes to this invitation? How much time does our church family spend time praying together? You know, when God's moving in here, I've learned this over 5 years, God's moving in here not when we're all jumping up and down and singing, and it's when it gets quiet. I'm praying that God will convict every one of us, every one of us, to receive this invitation to come into his presence and ask, seek, and knock. He wants to do great and mighty things. I've said all that to say this. There's a second thing. The invitation has not only been extended to ask, seek, and knock, but it's been expanded. Now, look again there at verse 8. Check this out. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now, the red letters in the Bible are what? The words of Jesus. And I always kind of back up a little bit when I say that, because every word in here is the word of Jesus. All scriptures inspired by God and profitable, all right? But that's why you got these red letters in here. And so Jesus expands the invitation by telling us we've got to come to God and ask. And if you'll come to God and ask in the right attitude, guess what? You're going to receive. Now, I think the reason, and remember the tense of the verse, keep on asking, keep on, keep on, keep on. I think what he wants to see in us is our dependence upon him. Do y'all know what Jesus said in John 15? Without me, you can do nothing. But with him, all things. So what are you asking God for? Huh? Are you praying big prayers? We serve a big God. And I think it honors him by the big requests that we make. Hello? So what are you asking God for? James 4:2 says, we have not because we ask not. And James 4:3 says, you lust and don't have, and you murder and you covet, you cannot obtain, you fight and you war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive. Why? Because you ask amiss. You see, whatever you're asking for needs to be motivated by some godly principle. Does that make sense? And so what are you asking God for, and what motivates you to make that request? How many of you guys have a lost family member? Are you asking God to save that person? Every day? Well, we know that it's God's will that everyone might come to him in faith. It's not God's will that any might perish, but that all might come to repentance. Isn't that what the Word of God says? And so when you have the Word of God, you have God's will. And when you pray God's Word in God's will, you're going to get what you ask for. Let that sink in. Man, you can come into His presence and ask Him. And whatever you ask, if it's in here, you're going to get it. Glory to God. Does God want all of us in here to be broke, busted, and disgusted? It's okay to pray and ask God to supply your need. What did Jesus say? Something about daily bread. Remember that? In the model prayer. And so what are you asking God for? And what's the motive behind the request? And then He says, seek and you shall find. Seeking God means you're just going after Him. You want to find Him. Jeremiah 29:13 basically says, you will seek, God says, you will seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with one quarter of your heart. All your heart. All your heart. James 5:16 says, the fervent, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Here's the promise for those of you who are seeking the presence and the face of God. If you go after Him with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your spirit and all of your strength, He's going to be found. He's going to be found. I didn't get their permission, so I better not use their name. But you know, when a child needs mama or daddy, and they need them bad, what do? They get real passionate. They get real fervent. And they start seeking mama and daddy with what? All their heart. And what does mom and dad do? Oh, they come running. How much more does our Heavenly Father love His children? And when we cry out to Him, when we're passionate, when we're fervent, oh, God, bless all the missionaries. Oh, God, thank You for this food. We're to go after God with everything that we've got. And by the way, why wouldn't you want to? Because He's the creator of the universe. He can do anything. And so, when we seek Him in that manner, He shall be found. And then we're to keep on knocking on God's door. Now, if you've got a Bible, let's take a look at this real quickly, or you don't have to, but I'll read it to you if you don't have it. Luke 11, verse 5. Jesus said, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight? How many of y'all have some friends that want to come visit at midnight? Paul does, all right? Don't come visit me at midnight. Go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves of bread. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him, and he'll answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door's now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and get. In other words, he's saying, come on back in the morning. The bread will be here. I'm in bed. My kids are in bed. Come back later. Are y'all with me? Look what happens. He says, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. That fellow just did what? He just kept on knocking. Hey, 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 your buddy ain't going away. I'm here. It's after midnight. You don't want to be here till 2 in the morning. I need 3 loaves of bread. Bring them to me. And finally, the old boy gets up and brings him and gives him what he wants. That's the way we're to pray and seek God's face. That's what we're to keep on knocking. You know, now, I don't want one group of folks here to get upset with me. But you know, young children and much older senior adults have a lot in common. Both groups will get something on their mind. And it's got to get done right now. And they just keep coming. And they keep coming. And they keep coming. Am I right? Yeah. Until finally, we just give in and say, okay. Susan, do you remember when Jenny... Now, y'all, this isn't an issue today. Kids get their ears pierced, I mean, when they're, you know, 6 months old. But not back in the day. And I remember Jenny coming to my parents, and she was wanting to get her ears pierced. Well, Dr. Jim and Miss Barbara said, "No, you're not old enough." How old was Jenny?
She was 12.
12. Y'all's 12-year-olds have ears and noses and everything else pierced already. But you know what? Susan, I remember Jenny would not give up. And guess what? She finally got her ears pierced. That's the way we're to go after God, see? That's the way we're supposed to keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Man, I've talked to a lot of folks that I'm connected with who had lost parents. And my buddy Eddie Benton just died. But you know how long Eddie prayed for his dad to get saved? 50 years. And his daddy finally got saved. It happens, brothers and sisters. Keep on knocking. Are y'all with me? We've got to finish up here. Our great God is the open door. And we've been invited to come. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Here's the last thing I wanted to say. This invitation is explained. Now, we can rest assured that our Heavenly Father will give us exactly what we need. He will. And the Lord Jesus uses an illustration here in verses 9 through 11 of an earthly father. And he says, he calls him evil. We don't like to go that route. But the Bible says our hearts are evil and desperately wicked. Who can know them? And he uses the example, the illustration of an earthly father who, even with all his faults and all his sin, still knows how to give good gifts to his children. How many of you have a father who gave you something you didn't deserve? And I'm not talking about whippings. Amen? And you know what I'm saying? A father wouldn't give a stone to one of his kids who needed some bread, who was hungry. By the way, I got to thinking about this. That's exactly what Satan offered to Jesus in the first temptation. That's another sermon. You go home and think about that one. And then a father, Jesus said, wouldn't put a snake on his kid's plate when he's asking for Captain D's snack pack. My preference is Long John Silver's, but anyway, that's another story. We wouldn't do that. And then Jesus asked the question, how much more our Heavenly Father, who knows what's best and who has a better plan than we do, who always does what's right, how much more not only can supply all our needs but wants to supply all of our needs? Our Heavenly Father gives good gifts. James 1:17, man, what a powerful verse. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God knows how to give good gifts. And He wants to give good gifts to His children if you'll go about it His way. And I began to think of all these great gifts that God's given me through the years. He's given me great family. I did not deserve to be one of His children. But God said, yes, come on in. And I've thought about a lot of things that God's done for me, but what you all may not know is that five plus years ago, God laid it on our hearts to come to Clarksville and plant a church. And the Lord has given me scripture that Clarksville's going to come to Jesus. And so, man, that got my heart. And so, after several months of kicking and screaming and fussing and fighting with God's will, Diana and I and Isaac moved back to Clarksville. And we planted this church. And we had a core group that started with us. I think it was like 27 people. And we met in our home, and we made some visits to other churches. And we had about an 8 or 9 week window there where we were doing that. And I want y'all to know, God has been so good to me to give me a great church with wonderful people. 99% of you are wonderful. But y'all make it a joy for Diane and I to serve you. And I could go around the room and talk about how you blessed me and how you love to serve. We've got a serving church. I have to tell some of y'all, stop! You've done enough! We've got a giving church. You're going to hear Wednesday night, this is the greatest financial year Second Mile Church has ever had. You're a giving church. You're a loving church. If you don't believe that, ask our widowed ladies. And you widows, we need to get a few widowers to come alongside. We've got some. I'm not talking about marriage. I'm just talking about companionship. We got such a loving bunch of folks. We care about young people. We care about children. We care about babies. We care about senior adults. We're loving on one another. I just want y'all to know, I may be the craziest pastor this church ever has, but I am screwed to the right bolt. And I appreciate all of you and love you and thank God for you. And you ought to see my prayer list. Most of you all are on there. And if you're not, it's your fault. And so I want to challenge you today to begin asking, to begin seeking, and to begin knocking. It's the key. It'll open up doors of all kinds of blessing and all kinds of opportunity for you. This is the only time I've ever disagreed with Lauren. We're not there yet. We're not a praying church. Well, when will that be? You'll know. Because you'll see miraculous things happening on a regular basis. And that's the promise. If you'll ask, you'll receive. If you'll seek, you'll find. If you'll knock, it shall be opened. Isn't it wonderful to have an open door policy with the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's bow our heads. I'd love for the invitation to be just a tad different today. If you're here this morning and you're lost and you don't know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you will come forward today, we'll pair you up with somebody that can lead you to Jesus. But the vast majority of us in here need to begin to pray early in the mornings, at noon, at night. And you need to get some brothers and sisters that you pray together with. And so I would love for you to come. This is an old-fashioned altar here. This is a marvelous place to meet the Lord God in intercession and sacrifice. And just say, Lord, like those early disciples, teach me to pray. Not how to pray, just teach me to pray. And begin asking, seeking, and receive. We're going to open up this altar in just a moment. I'm going to pray for you. Father, there are people here this morning, and they're burdened right now about their prayer life. It's one of the things that we really need help with, because Satan is opposed to all of us praying. And so God, I ask that somehow, some way, that you would open up our hearts and help us to receive this invitation today to begin prayer. No matter where we are in this, that you would make us great prayer warriors in the kingdom. And by their coming today, basically says, I want to be a man, a woman, a boy, or girl of prayer. If that's the key to the Christian life, I want it. And your coming will say to God, use me, hear me, touch me, anoint me with prayer. Help us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'd stand quietly and reverently to your feet, no one looking around and jumping around and moving out. This is the most important time of the service. What are we going to sing, Brother Andrew?
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.